Who and what is a high priest? Well, the Bible speaks about the office of the high priest in the Old Testament being held, first of all, by, in the Mosaic law, by Aaron. Aaron was Moses' brother. But Aaron wasn't the first priest. In fact, you got to go back to Genesis 14 and verse 18 to see the first priest, and that is Melchizedek, king of Salem. He met Abraham as he was coming back from the fight with the seven kings, and it says that he brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And so Melchizedek is the first priest that we're introduced to in the Bible, but we also note that there are more priests introduced to us after this point. In the Mosaic covenant, God mandated that there be a high priest to intermediate between God, who is holy, and the people who are sinful. And so we have a tremendous amount of detail regarding the Aaronic priesthood and regarding the high priesthood of Aaron in the Old Testament. He was to be of the tribe of Levi, of the descendants of Aaron, the brother of Moses, and that's, of course, to be high priest. Aaron was the first high priest, and the high priest was to consecrate and dedicate himself to the worship of God within the tabernacle and later the temple. The high priest was ceremonially installed into the office per instructions found in Exodus chapter 29 and verse 29 and following. And each new high priest had to wear special garments, holy garments, and undergo a special anointing, according to Leviticus 21 and verse 10. The high priest was also charged to wear a vest known as the ephod, which was a sleeveless garment that was worn over the upper part of his body, kind of like a vest today. The description of this clothing is found in Exodus 28. In the vest, there were various things. First of all, it had the names of the 12 tribes of Israel written on the vest. And it also had a couple of pockets where something called the Urim and the Thummim was kept. And the Urim and the Thummim, most scholars think, seem to be some kind of device, a chance device, like a dice or something like that, that the high priest could cast when there was a question about what to do. And then the answer, whatever the dice indicated, the answer was considered to be from God. And so the high priest had a special role and a special relationship to God. And this is borne out by the headdress that he wore. It was made of fine linen, and inscribed on the top of it was the name or the words "Holy to Yahweh." And so it represented God's interest. So in the headpiece, it said "Holy to Yahweh," and on the vest, it had the 12 tribes of Israel listed. And so in the person of the high priest, then, you find a mediator between God and man. And that's what the high priest was supposed to do, mediate, to act as a go-between, if you will, between God on the one hand, who is holy, and man on the other hand, who is sinful, so as to bring them together into one relationship through this high priest. The high priest under the Mosaic law was to enter into the most holy place of the tabernacle, or later of the temple, once a year, and offer sacrifices for the children of Israel and for himself as well. When he did this, he was not to wear his priestly garments, but to dress in pure white linen. And after the sacrifice, he was then to preside over the sending of the scapegoat into the wilderness, symbolic of casting the sins of Israel far away from them, so that they could never come back onto them. The high priest had to keep his person pure As an individual, he was one who could not have any physical defects or deformities. He was to marry a virgin woman of pure character. He was not to defile himself by contact with dead bodies or to show the signs of public mourning while attending to his duties. He was not to eat anything that had died of itself, and he was to wash both his hands and his feet before entering up to the altar to preside over the sacrifices. He also acted as a judge for various different things, for legal questions, and then in a medical capacity to diagnose certain diseases, and ultimately for questions regarding spirituality. Well, this basic description of who and what a high priest was in the Old Covenant was a shadow of things to come, because we see that the high priesthood then was transferred upon Jesus Christ. 15 times in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is named as high priest. And the burden of the book of Hebrews is to show that the way of Christ is the better way, and that Judaism cannot hold a candle to the blessings that are bestowed upon us in Christ. Part of these great blessings are the high priesthood of Jesus. And Jesus is superior to the high priesthood that was under the Old Covenant. Number one, because Jesus' high priesthood was after the order of Melchizedek, which means that it was a high priesthood that didn't depend upon lineage or conditions, but rather it was a high priesthood that had a direct relationship and authority from God. Hebrews 5 verse 10 and 6 and verse 20. Secondly, Jesus' high priesthood was based upon Jesus' sinless life. And because he lived a perfectly sinless life, he could then represent the interests of God to mankind in a perfect way. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Third, because he was sinless, he did not need to offer sacrifice for himself daily in the temple, because Jesus did not need to have sacrifice for sin. And in fact, when he went into the ultimate temple, heaven itself, he went into the most holy place where God actually is, and he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now, the high priest under the Old Covenant was not allowed to do that. He could go in once a year and sprinkle that blood on the Ark of the Covenant, but then he was to leave and he could not enter again until the next year. But Jesus, because he was the perfect high priest and the perfect mediator, when he went into the most holy place, not the shadow that the old high priest went into in the temple or in the tabernacle, you understand that was just a shadow of the real thing, which was heaven itself, right? And so, but Jesus didn't go into the shadow, he went into heaven itself. And he didn't go in there just for one day. He went in there to sit down and take his place, because that's where his place is as high priest under the new covenant. And so he did not offer any sacrifices for himself, because he offered himself as a sacrifice for us. Hebrews 7 and verse 27. And while the high priest under the old covenant went into the holy place and then came out, Jesus stayed. And that makes him the mediator of a better covenant. Hebrews 9 and verse 15. Well, today we do not have a system of worship as they did under the old covenant that demands a segregated priesthood. Today, God considers all Christians, both males and females, to be priests. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 and Revelation 5 and verse 9. Both teaches that. And so if you're a Christian, then you're a priest. I had some Catholic friends not too many years back who would talk to me about, you know, whether or not they should allow women to be priests. And I said, well, we allow women to be priests. And they said, you do? And I said, sure, every single Christian is a priest. according to the Bible. And they were like, well, you know. But that's the truth. You see, that's Bible teaching, is that all Christians are priests. And what does that mean? It means that as a priest, I can approach God directly in worship of Him. I can pray directly to the Father. I can praise Him directly. I can offer my sacrifice of myself, you know, directly to God. Like Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 says that we're to consider ourselves living sacrifices, right? Well, under the old covenant, I couldn't do that. I had to take my sacrifice to the priest, and then the priest offered the sacrifice. But not so under the new covenant. I offer my worship directly to God, not through another priest, another human priest. Now, Jesus is the high priest, and He's sitting down on the right hand of the throne, and He mediates for me, but my worship goes directly to the Father. So as our high priest, then, He is both the one who offered sacrifice for our sins and the sacrifice itself. And that one sacrifice makes Him the only high priest that God recognizes today. So Jesus understands both sides of the issue. He's a mediator, just like the high priest in the Old Covenant was a mediator. But Jesus is the perfect mediator. Why? Because He is both God and man. And because of that, He embodies the mission of mediation. The book of Hebrews says that He ever lives to make intercession for us. That's what He wants to do, and He loves doing it. So Jesus is our high priest, and He is a mediator between God and man.